Welcome to At Home, your home decor Halloween headquarters.
Ivan, those delightful strings of bat lights.
Right over there.
Thank you.
I need decorations that are...
terrifying?
Exactly.
Right down there.
I'm looking for...
bubbling cauldrons?
How'd you know?
Lucky guess. Next aisle. Enjoy eerily low Halloween prices every day, all season long. Check out athome.com and then visit one of our Chicago area At Home home decor superstores.
Cubs win. They take out the Pirates.
Schwarber cracks one in the air. Long gone.
2-2 to Fowler. Swung on and hit high and deep. It's gone.
Swing a line drive. Caught by Castro. Cubs win.
The Cubs now move on to St. Louis to face the division rival Cardinals. Keep it here, Cub fans. This is going to be one huge series. So trust us for the most complete coverage on the radio. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago.
Coming up to 2 o'clock and from the Score Update studio, I'm Matt Rodewald with a scoreboard update. And now it's on to the Cardinals. They turn the page. The Northsiders are getting ready for the first ever playoff matchup between the Cubs and the Redbirds down in St. Louis. It's a 5:30 first pitch tomorrow night for Game 1 of the NLDS. And Joe Maddon has a unique perspective on this series.
Everybody knows I grew up a Cardinal fan, and I get this opportunity as a manager to work versus them in a division series 2015. It's pretty awesome, man. And beyond that, I don't want to make it personal. It's about the players. Our guys getting this opportunity.
As Joe Maddon last night, he's actually meeting with the media right now. John Lester taking the ball against John Lackey. The rest of the pitching matchups are starting to take shape as well for the series. Cardinals will send out Jaime Garcia for game number 2. Michael Wacha will go against Jake Arrieta for game number 3. And Lance Lynn will pitch for the Cardinals in game 4. Mike Matheny today says that Yadier Molina is good to go. And Adam Wainwright will be a one-inning relief pitcher for this series against the Cubs as he works his way back from injury. In the meantime, Anthony Rizzo struggled against John Lackey, just 1-for-12 with 3 strikeouts in his career against him at the plate. Jason Hayward on the flip side will be the one to watch for the Cardinals, a career 4-1-7 hitter against Lester. That's 4-17 hitter against John Lester, who's going tomorrow night. Also, first pitcher game 3 has now been set at Wrigley. It's going to be a 4 o'clock start on Monday on the north side. Start of the ALDS within this hour, it'll be the Blue Jays hosting its first playoff game in 22 years this afternoon. The Rangers heading north to face off against Toronto. Yovani Guerrero goes against David Price in that one. Astros in Kansas City later on tonight to face off against the Royals. Yordano Ventura goes against Colin McHugh, the pitching matchup there. Last night's Cubs-Pirates game drew a 5.5 rating on TBS nationally. That's good. How about 34% higher from last year's Pirates loss in the wild card game? Bears practicing up at Halas Hall today, getting ready for a tough road test against the Chiefs. Eddie Royal, Jermon Bushrod, Antrell Roll, highlighting the list of walking wounded that did not practice today. Thursday night football in the Score, you got the Colts and the Texans. No Andrew Luck tonight. Hawks working out. They'll be in Brooklyn tomorrow to face off against the Islanders. And preseason NBA, Bulls and Nuggets in Colorado tonight. Scoreboard update brought to you by Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And Tag Heuer invites you to follow 10 Chicago area runners on their journey to compete in the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. Log on to cbschicago.com/marathon for more information. I'm Matt Rodewald, and you're listening to the radio home for Bears fans, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. For tickets, visit nusports.com.
Regulators, mount up. We're coming.
Matt Miller.
He's everywhere you want to be. Don't leave home without him.
NFL and NFL draft lead analyst for Bleacher Report.
I like this kind of party.
Breaking down the NCAA and the NFL.
The average football fan doesn't get to see a lot of these college players. I see it as my responsibility to kind of sell NFL fan bases on this player.
Matt Miller.
It's time to go eat, baby.
Matt Miller with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
And at 2:03, our guy is here. We can talk a little bit of football. Get away from Cubs for just a second.
Matt Miller is on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. You read his stuff on Bleacher Report. You hear him now on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. Hello, Matt.
Hello, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well. We observe every Saturday the topsy-turvy world of college football, because sometimes, Matt, I must admit, I'm watching some of these games. I'm not exactly sure what the hell is going on, because I know some of these players are better than that, and I must be missing in time when they are.
Yeah, it could just be, it could be that. It could be bad timing. Also, college football this year has been really, like, you know, hit or miss, I think. You know, like, you know, Cardale Jones, one week, he looks amazing. Next week, he looks awful. So it's, you know, college is so much about matchups and scheme. And so that's what I'm here for, is to make you guys feel better about whichever prospect it is you like this week.
Well, we keep looking at the quarterbacks, and nobody's really pulling away. As much as you like Jared Goff, you know, our guy Greg Gabriel, the longtime NFL scout, he does not.
Does not.
And that's saying...
Yeah, Greg and I have talked about it. The way I interpreted it was that it's not that he doesn't like Goff. He just doesn't think a junior quarterback should leave for the NFL, right?
Well, he also doesn't... the level of competition hasn't been such that he's been particularly impressed yet.
Oh, okay. I disagree. I think Goff is amazing. I really do. Speaking to level of competition, Stanford always has a good defense. University of Washington last year had, what, like four first-rounders on defense? So they had some talent. It's not always going to show up in the, you know, statistical, you know, what was Washington ranked on defense last year? Not great, but they had talent. UCLA had talent. So the Pac-12 is not great, but nowhere is in college these days. You know, like, there's not a conference that's good at defense anymore, not like the SEC was a few years ago. So it's a legit gripe, but, you know, Marcus Mariota played the same schedule. Everybody was cool with it. So it's we'll see. I feel confident that if Goff comes out at the end of the year, he'll be the number one quarterback, maybe not for every team, but for most teams.
You mentioned Pac-12 and Mariota. There was an Oregon Duck last year, Hronas Grasu, the Bears took in the third round, who they're being coy right now. We don't know if, in fact, he is actually going this week. There's a word that he's been getting first-team reps. But watching him in the preseason, just still too light in the ass, just not able to anchor and win the point of attack. So per your experience, are guys able to get stronger, to just simply be bigger, stronger, heavier, stouter, or do they have to work to their advantages and play a different kind of game than that?
No, I think that's one of the few areas where you can get better. Like, everyone wants to talk about quarterbacks. Like, oh, he'll get more accurate or his arm will get stronger. He won't actually get a whole lot stronger. So with offensive linemen, yeah, I think you can, you know, get bigger. You can get stronger. You can, like you said, he's kind of light in the ass. You can fix that. But at the same time, play to his strengths. You know, what he does do well is move. So combination blocks, getting to the second level, coming out of that Oregon scheme, that's what he knows to do is to move. So I think you can scheme to that. You know, it's going to be a lot of traps, a lot of pulls, a lot of screen game to get him moving in the pass game so that he's not just stuck trying to anchor, especially this week if it's against Dontari Poe. He's not a good matchup there. You don't want him just, you know, trying to lock it to the guy who has that type of toolbox when it comes to pass rush moves.
I just find it interesting that you would take this, the third round pick, right? That you'd look at him, Matt, and you'd know that just by looking at him, he's probably not ready. I mean, he needs just what you're talking about. All of that stuff. He needs some more strength, he needs some more weight. I mean, aren't there guys in the third round, or is it really difficult to find somebody that you could say, all right, you know what? This is just going to take some work. Learn this, not have to change his body to get into a game, not have to do all these other things to become a competent NFL player.
I think in the third round, you're probably drafting guys who have, like, one knock on them. You know, like, it's either going to be character or something physical. And with Grasso, he was a four-year starter at Oregon. So, I mean, you would think that he has the experience, like, the you know, coming in and having game reps isn't going to be the problem. It's just a matter of, you know, getting him a little bit stronger. And I think with that, it's all projection. You know, it's I don't know how many times I've said this about a player. It's like, oh, once he gets in an NFL strength program, that's not going to be a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. But again, a third rounder, you're not always expecting those guys to contribute year one, unfortunately.
Already such quarterback issues in this year in the NFL, and seeing what's going on now with, was it Josh Johnson being brought back for another go-round in Indianapolis, and you know, one of the teams on display tonight, and the Texans has no idea what they're doing. It is just this drumbeat for me, the difficulty of finding a quarterback, and it keeps creeping into the discussion here in Chicago, the fait accompli that had been of, well, they'll just move on from Jay Cutler. It sounds great because everybody's tired of Jay Cutler, but he's so much better than so much of the garbage that's out there. It's just not going to be that easy, even looking medium term for these Bears, is it?
No, it's not that easy. Like, you guys know, I'm in Missouri, so I do a lot of Kansas City radio, and it's like, oh, we got to get rid of Alex Smith.
Right.
For who? Like, who are you going to start? You know, and it's the same thing with Jay Cutler or Matthew Stafford. It's like, oh, he's a bum. We can't win with him. But who, you going to draft Bryce Petty? What are you going to do? Like, it's not that easy, especially now with there aren't pro-style college quarterbacks hardly anymore. And if there are, they're drafted early. So it's very hard to say, you know, especially like in Adam Gase's offense, Jay Cutler has looked pretty good when he's been on the field. I know that that's going to get me, I'm going to get a lot of tweets for that one, but it's true. So it's hard to get rid of a guy who there are times he's below average, but there are times he's way above average and roll the dice on something that's unknown. And I know just based on Twitter, a lot of Bears fans are hoping they get the first pick in the draft that they can draft Jared Goff and everything will be okay again. One guy is not going to fix your problems. And I think that's something that that Ryan Pace and John Fox understand, and that's why we're seeing this roster kind of blown up right now, is because it's not a one-man fix. Like, the last regime screwed them in terms of free agency in the draft. They got to rebuild this thing from the bottom up. And you know, we'll see. I mean, Cutler's salary is a problem. I think his attitude at times is a problem, but there are about 10 teams in the NFL that would love to have Jay Cutler right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't know if you Bears fans would be mad at you because he has played well, and it's really interesting that we talked about this with some people, Matt. That he's had all these different offensive coordinators, including the great Mike Martz. Just ask him, but he gets Adam Gase, who could have been the coach of the 49ers, but turned it down because they wouldn't allow him to do what he wanted to do. I mean, I think, you know, he seems like a really brilliant guy at what he does, because this Cutler, you don't recognize him anymore. There's none of this stuff that you grew so tired of. And I'm not saying interceptions, but just not knowing where everybody is and they're in the wrong place and he doesn't know and he's calling timeout and all this other stuff. Gase has straightened this entire thing out. I mean, he really has. So I guess it